Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Total Schemers Podcast. My name is Simo. Today, I'm joined by Jed. Say hello, Jed.
Right, mate.
How are you doing, mate?
All good, thank you. All good.
Good, mate. I'm a little bit... I was just saying before we started, I've just stuffed half a large Domino's into my fucking face before we started recording. So if I fall asleep halfway through this episode, it's not Jed's fault. It's...
Thanks for getting that in early, because if you do fall asleep, it will just be because I'm boring. So.
Exactly. <mate. Yeah. laughs> Rightio.
Pizza. It's fine.
I tell you what, let's talk about last night's football, which was, by all accounts, a sexy game of football, to be honest, mate. That was a fucking good old game of football last night, wasn't it?
Oh, mate, it was just, from start to finish, it was an absolute classic. Like, genuinely, everything about it. Man City going at it, you know, being all over Real Madrid. Real Madrid completely, you know, at 67.
Real Madrid have played an absolute masterclass. They're going back to the Bernabeu with sort of 1-0 deficit, which is fine. Which is what we said before. We got it completely wrong. I thought this game was maybe going to not deliver. So did Billy.
I don't know how they've managed it. I honestly don't know how they managed it. They early on in the game, they could have been 4-5-0 down inside that first half, and they've just clawed their way back into it, mainly through Benzema, to be honest.
Yeah, Benzema.
honestly, like, that is just the magic of the Champions League, and says a lot about this Real Madrid side, because they've clawed games back now against PSG and Chelsea and Manchester City. And obviously this tie is far from being over. So, crazy. Absolutely crazy.
I mean, there's a lot to talk about in this match. Let's break it down. Let's start. So Alaba had a shocker, mate. He's had an error leading to goal, and then he's come off injured, which is about as underwhelming as a performance you can deliver in the Champions League. And we spoke about it actually before. Yeah. And he was carrying a knock beforehand. We actually mentioned that before it kicked off. And, I thought Real Madrid did the best to make. They made the best of the chances they got. I think they could have been a wee bit more. They won the ball up high in the pitch quite a few times and never really capitalised on it as they sort of should have. Vinicius Junior, specifically with his pressing, did a really good job of trying winning that ball. He was my, other than if Benzema wasn't on the pitch, he'd been my man in the match. I thought he was outstanding.
The goal he scored was unreal.
Yeah. It just picks up near enough the halfway line, just goes.
Yeah, it's just pure pace, isn't it? Pure pace. It's like I'm running after this ball. Nobody's going to catch me.
And nobody did.
Like, and then I'm going to finish. Like, to be fair, like, he left it quite late to get the shot off, didn't he? But tucks it away. Great goal.
Superb. Benzema's finish as well is fucking excellent. To get the goal back and make it to 2-1. Really, really well delivered. Yeah. But Mendy as well, a really good ball and two assists.
By that point, Manchester City had so many chances.
By that point, there should have been 4 or 5 now. 100%.
Yeah, genuinely. Like, you could tell because Pep was raging, wasn't he, when Mahrez went through Phil Foden's unmarked at the back post, and Mahrez.
Have you seen this on Twitter? That people are saying, Mahrez couldn't have made that pass.
What? No,
mate. Honestly, there's a full post. There's a full post like drawing the line, saying, "Oh, it would have been intercepted." I've seen that pass made 20 million times, man. I could make that pass.
The man's a professional footballer, and he does have a right foot. I've double checked, and he's definitely got one. So all you need to do is just slide that ball across. You can play it in front or behind of the defender. There, it doesn't matter. What he chose was the wrong option.
Yeah.
he's gone for a harder effort at the near post against Courtois, who's closing the angle down. Like, just square it.
Pep knew as well, because
absolutely fuming. He was like, Real Madrid will come back at it. Like, they will get a worm away back into the game. You have to take those chances. Even if he'd gone for the far post, like with a... He opened his body.
Yeah,
a
near post.
It would have been a better effort. Near post was just the wrong choice altogether. It's like, yeah, complete waste.
The fact he doesn't even make Courtois work at all. It's this total side netting.
Exactly.
You know, he doesn't force a save or anything.
Exactly. You've got to work the keeper there, surely. Like, you've got to hit the target when you're in that situation. There's no excuse, really. And if you're going to take the shot on, you need to hit the target. If not, absolutely, you need to square that ball. Because Phil Foden makes it 3-0 if he gets the...
He should have had a hat-trick last night. He had Mahrez. He always hits the woodwork at the far post as well. You start to think, oh, it's not going to be old Riyad's day. He had an excellent game. He gets an assist, doesn't he? Hits the woodwork. He has all-round an excellent game. And he
almost scored a worldie as well, didn't he, when he dribbled through the defence in the second half and sort of went just across the face of goal. Almost.
There were so many of those in the game, like a bit of a scramble in Real Madrid's box that Real Madrid just happened to come off the right end of, you know?
Yeah. Like, genuinely, the game was just full of chances. It really was from start to finish. Completely full of chances. It was so good. So entertaining. It reminded me of that, was it last season or the season before? There was like a really good game between Bayern Munich, or was it Barca and PSG or something like that? Or Bayern PSG, it might have been.
It was Bayern PSG, maybe.
Yeah, that game, I think it was last year. Like, that game.
Tones of that,
incredible.
Yeah. Definitely one clearly dominant team, but another team with just quality in it that could snatch back.
It was just pure like chances, end-to-end football. It was brilliant, yeah. It's what the Champions League is for, really.
Yeah, definitely. There was a bit of a, I don't know what your thoughts on this were, but I was watching that midfield battle between sort of Rodri, Silva, and De Bruyne up against Kroos, Modric, and Valverde.
Hmm.
And it was a bit like past and present, man.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I mean, like, just even sort of 5 or 6 years ago, not even that long ago, Toni Kroos and Modric, the idea of them getting dominated in a game...
Yeah,
just as it wasn't a thing.
Very unheard of, you know. Teams would have done that. To be fair, very few.
Yeah,
I think potentially Barcelona at their peak, like with Xavi and Iniesta, etc. Potentially, played on, but yeah,
at their peaks, you know, it's
when
we're both
like
sort of maybe, I don't know, like 28, 29, maybe even in our mid-20s as well. But my God, I mean, there was no even ifs or buts. Man City won that midfield battle by a long way. Rodri was absolutely excellent. Silva, superb. De Bruyne is just an absolute machine, you know. And it's for me, just like notes of sort of like that is the, if you're talking about sort of world superstars, like that, you know, De Bruyne and Silva, even Rodri is a another stay in that City side and maybe doesn't get the praise he probably deserves in terms of the work he does in that side. You know, it's big.
That's what he's in for, though, isn't he? He's like, he's not there to be the player that everyone raves about. He's just there to do his job, and he's going to be one of those unsung heroes, I guess. But yeah, they did. I thought Manchester City were, to be honest, for the most part, were excellent from the midfield up. Defensively, made a few mistakes. Like you said, they got caught in possession a few times. Did John Stones go off injured, or did he just get?
It looked to be a knock. He was one of the doubtful ones. We said before the lineups came out, before we seen the lineups, we were talking about whether John Stones would start or not. And obviously, starting out right back, I thought
out of position. Yeah,
I think Pep maybe just thinks, well, he's not going to do a whole lot of running. I don't know why I thought that. That's not a thing you think. He's playing on the same side as Vinicius.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to say that he did think that, but I don't know. It's normally like fullback is a if we're not talking like the modern day fullback, you know, fullback is where generally you could put anybody there, you know, as long as they were a footballer. I mean, prime example, Fernandinho, not a fullback, did an excellent performance at fullback. Yeah. Like put in a fullback's cross and got an assist and everything. So besides the sort of error leading to the goal as well, but yeah, he was fairly solid for a 36-year-old midfielder playing at fullback against Vinicius Junior. Did not too bad.
I don't know. I'm not sure what their situation was in terms of like cover at fullback. I personally wouldn't have put John Stones there. You know, I don't think they would have really had, you know, much choice. But then again, the depth in that squad, I mean, you could have potentially put Cancelo there if he was fit, or Walker. Like, I don't know what they've been left out.
Cancelo was banned. He was on a match ban.
Oh, he's banned. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it might have made sense just to go with maybe put Fernandinho there for the start.
Nathan Ake
out at left back and Zinchenko at right back.
I think at the minute, like this title, I really can't call which way it's going to go in the second leg, because it just the nature of Real Madrid's Champions League ties has just been really unpredictable, hasn't it? Like in the last like couple of months, it's just like
they're
never out of a game,
buzzing, mate. So. They will be buzzing to go back to the Bernabeu with a 1-0 deficit, mate. They'll be buzzing with that. That would have been mission, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a good result for them, really. And
Pep will be raging, mate, that he had the chance to absolutely go and put this tie to bed, and he maybe could have rotated in the second leg, you know, if he had like a sort of the 3-0, 4-0 gap that he probably should have had for this game. But they had a poor performance at the back. Ederson wasn't particularly good either. Laporte, Diaz didn't really perform as well as they probably could have. And again, that right fullback position, even with Fernandinho, was a bit of a problem position, because even John Stones, when he was out there on the pitch and was fit, didn't look particularly comfortable. So I'm not sure. He didn't look too... Like, I don't know what happened for him to come off, but he seemed to be walking fine. So, I mean, he didn't look comfortable out there, in my opinion.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Like I said, it's going to be a really, really interesting second leg. I can't wait for it, to be honest. I'm much more interested in that tie than in the Liverpool tie, I have to admit, because I can't really look past Liverpool for that one. But this Real Madrid-Man City game is going to be unreal. It wouldn't surprise me if we see a similar scoreline in the second leg, just due because of one, Karim Benzema, and two, because of how good Man City are. Like, Gabriel Jesus is playing out of his skin at the minute, isn't he?
Heavily linked to Arsenal
yesterday. No, I think Man City would be foolish to let go of Jesus, to be honest.
I really do think they're going to go get a striker.
They will. But look, he's a really good backup option, isn't he? If say for example they sign Erling Haaland, he goes and breaks his leg.
He's not even in my mind. He's not really a number nine, to be honest. I think he does much better work when he's either side, preferably probably the right, so he can cut in.
Yeah, but he can finish though, can't he? That's the thing. He knows where the goal is. So.
That's probably all he works on in training. Although that's probably all Pep wants him to work on in training, is because they don't have that out and out number nine, is probably for him just to finish in training, finish, you know?
Yeah, he goes.
But I do see them going and getting a Haaland or that type of level
player. Yeah, it's pretty much nailed on, I think. Yeah, it's pretty much nailed on. But I'd be keeping Jesus, because I just think he gives you another option there, basically, that if they take him away, they weaken themselves, basically, if they don't have him. So I can't see them wanting to do that. I think they will hang on to him. But,
I mean, it's a competitive side, mate. Like a replacement will pop up for Gabriel Jesus, you know? Like, they as soon as they want a sort of replacement, I think of players that are replaceable and that are not as replaceable, I think Gabriel Jesus maybe isn't another. Like, I think they can go in the market and maybe get someone of a similar. But I mean, even a Ferran Torres, who I thought was a fantastic prospect, he just could not crack this side, despite, you know, some really, really strong performances, couldn't crack this side. So, I mean, it just goes to show how competitive it really is to get, I mean, specifically the front three. They got £100 million worth of Jack Grealish just sitting on the bench, you know.
Didn't even get involved yesterday, did he? I think they didn't bring him on, yeah.
So it's I think they could replace him soon enough, you know. But we'll see. I suppose he'll be up to him. I don't know how long he's left his contract, but he's definitely one of the sort of brighter sparks in that City side. But we should move on, mate. We should come and talk about Liverpool. I'm just going to pull up the team selection, and it looks like Liverpool haven't rotated even in the slightest bit, and that is the right thing to do in a semi final. Just even though it's this Villarreal, and a lot of people maybe don't think that they were very, very lucky to get past Bayern Munich, which they were, but it was all down to a really, really solid game plan. And I can foresee probably no changes in how they set up against Liverpool from how they set up against Bayern. It's going to be difficult for Liverpool to break this team down.
Yeah, it will be. I think, you know, Villarreal are going to sit in. They're going to try and frustrate Liverpool, because ultimately they're going to be sort of playing for the smallest deficit they can, really. I think, like you say, if they go back to Villa, if they go into the second leg like only one goal down, for example, that's a really good result for them. Liverpool will be heavy favourites for this. Got all the big guns out: Salah, Mane, Luis Diaz up front, you know, Van Dijk. It's nothing like the last team that they played in the Champions League, is it? So I'm expecting Liverpool to win this one. But I think that it's not, you know, it's not going to be a pasting. I think, you know, potentially like a 2-0 or something like that, because Villarreal will work hard and try and keep them out.
Listen, there's a lot of options for Liverpool here. They seem to be they've set up with the ultra stable Jordan Henderson and Fabinho, and then they're going to probably look to for Thiago to create those passes into Salah, Mane, and Luis Diaz. And obviously, they could switch to that 4-2-3-1 where they bring on Jota along with that front three.
Yeah,
which I think is not a bad idea at all. And then they could maybe leave Thiago in the midfield with either Hendo or Fabinho, probably Fabinho. And then obviously you've got the fullback playmakers as well. So there's a lot of firepower in this Liverpool side. I mean, one thing that maybe goes against Bayern, which opposes Liverpool, is the percentages of Bayern's goals that's scored by Lewandowski. So if Lewandowski's having a bad day, they're generally not as, you know, at the peak of their powers away as Liverpool generally. The goals are much more spread out among the squad than they are at Bayern. So, I think the Villarreal do very, very well to just keep it tight for the second leg. I think that's going to be the goal for them, is just to keep it tight, make sure that they're still in with a shout in the second leg. I think maybe a one goal deficit isn't too bad to win the second leg with, but I think in past two or three goals, I really do think they struggle to make that up.
Yeah. I mean, the graphic I'm looking at the minute is showing them as looking like they're going to set up with the 4-4-2. I don't know if that's going to be the case.
I don't think that is, because I've seen Lo Celso playing in a striker position, and I think it'll be a 5 in midfield.
Oh, my graphic has him on like the right-hand side of a 4-4-2 with Francis Coquelin on the left-hand side. Like, somehow I don't think that's happening.
No, I'm looking, he's on the left-hand side. Capuri's in midfield
looks to me like that'll probably, like you said, be a 5-man midfield. But yeah, they're clearly they're clearly playing for, you know, to keep trying to keep the score down, I think.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, your players like your Chukwueze.
Very pacey player.
Yeah. Dan Juma, I think, is also quite pacey. Formerly of Bournemouth, I think. So he could cause a problem if he gets on the ball. So all they need is one chance, really, isn't it? Yeah, they may well take it. So yeah, it's an interesting matchup. But like I say, I can't look beyond Liverpool, though.
No, I really can't. I honestly think that this is... I think Klopp might be in a position to rotate in the second leg with a good deficit. You know, he doesn't... You know what I mean?
You'd hope so.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, but at the same time, it's like... Oh, see, I know it's going to be a slog of a night, you know? If Liverpool scored early, it'll settle me. So, like, I think every fan will just be, you know... Like a De Bruyne, just off the mark, fastest goal in semi-final history of the Champions League. That would do me nicely tonight. I think that'll do us, mate. I think we're going to come back and we're going to cover this game tomorrow and maybe preview a bit of the weekend as well. But thank you very much for joining me, bud.
Always a pleasure, mate.
Thank you very much for the listeners tuning in and downloading. We really do appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on, and we shall see you tomorrow where we review the Liverpool and Villarreal semi-final. Sports Social Podcast Network.